This is We Digress, with Jeffrey Clues and Andrew Paulo. Today is Wednesday, February 6th, 2008.
Top stories, Mississippi won't serve fat people, Muslims protest the encyclopedia, and political giants win Super Tuesday. An exciting day yesterday, of course.
Absolutely it was.
I think what's most interesting is how little surprises there actually were.
Yeah.
I pretty much, you know, a Clinton Obama essentially tied neck and neck. McCain came out as a front runner,
no
as expected.
There.
I think to me the biggest shock was Huckabee's performance, but you were talking earlier about Romney.
Yeah, well, Romney, I definitely was surprised at how much he pulled through in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the other big things is 16 delegates for Ron Paul.
Yeah, you got 10 on February 5th.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think those are mainly from caucuses, though, that he
earned those. Oh, absolutely, but still, I mean, it's still much better than I thought he would do.
It's better than Giuliani,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and Hunter, who I completely forgot was even in the race.
It's Duncan Hunter, yeah, he left a while ago.
Yeah.
Though with, what we should talk about is with the total delegates with the Democrats, of course, depending who you listen to, either Clinton's up or Obama's up, do you think they should include superdelegates in a total count, or do you think they should just do them based on earned delegates?
Honestly, at this point, I don't know if either one of them is going to bring us close to really understanding, especially with a tie this close.
Well, because if one way, if you look at it with superdelegates, Obama is in the lead, and with Clinton is, so obviously that does change stuff with momentum and all that kind of talk.
It definitely does, and I know Obama's going to be pushing, interpreting it with the superdelegates, and...
Without the superdelegates.
Oh, was it without?
Without, yes.
Okay, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Clinton's winning with the superdelegates.
Okay, right,
yeah.
I misheard you then. Then yeah, they're both going to be pushing the understanding, the way that makes them look the best.
Right.
So I don't really know if...
But which one do you think is the more accurate way of looking at it?
Honestly, I don't really know enough about the difference between delegates and superdelegates to say one way or the other.
Okay.
Why don't you give us your opinion?
Personally, I think it should be without the superdelegates, because superdelegates can obviously change their opinion whenever they want without any actual reason, whereas pledged delegates have to go to who they are.
Right.
So, you know, with the superdelegates, you never know how it's going to end up. They normally just go to whoever's the front runner. Any surprises on the Democratic side with who won where?
I mean, honestly, I didn't even realize. Did either of them campaign in Alaska?
I'm not sure if any of them did. Obama did take it, though.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. No, you know, honestly, I wasn't too surprised with...
I think the only big one for me was Massachusetts, with Clinton taking 60%. Well, you had John Kerry's recommendation, you had Ted Kennedy's recommendation,
right.
And
with, I mean, with how much Obama took Connecticut, you'd think that it might spill over a little bit.
Right, but all of the, on the East Coast, Clinton certainly dominated. And then on the Republican side, of course, Huckabee took the Southern Bible votes.
Yep.
And McCain took the independent and you know, moderate votes, and Romney took whatever was left.
And I guess Paul, we just kind of threw him a couple grains of rice just so he'd feel okay?
Yeah, let's see. Paul won delegates in
Iowa.
Iowa, that was a while ago. And he won four, actually,
in
Nevada, which was, again, a while ago. North Dakota is where
five.
He got the most, five
yeah.
delegates. And I'm sure there must be something else that I'm missing here, but...
Oh, and Alaska, he won five.
And Alaska.
Paul beat McCain in Alaska.
Yeah. Good for Alaska, I guess. They got that independent streak going, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, as we're looking at this, it's definitely, there's a lot of, you know, check marks next to McCain.
And well, the big win for McCain, of course, was the was California, where he won huge, got 116 delegates right now to Romney's three. Romney was saying there's going to be a surge there and all that kind of stuff. He was doing better in the polls. Didn't turn out that way
no,
at all.
No, definitely not.
So... Good for him, I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely an upset. I thought that more were going to go to Romney, and I thought that less were going to go to Huckabee, and especially a lot less to Paul.
So I think in the end it was pretty much, though, you know, slightly off from where it was going to be. I think it, you know, first place John McCain, second place Mitt Romney,
then
in a low
Huckabee.
Segment. I mean, it all ended how we thought it was going to end.
Yeah,
ultimately.
It's more the specifics of it that surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's all we have for Super Tuesday at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will move on.
We're going to move on to our interesting headline of the day. And basically, tearless onion created in lab using gene splicing.
A tearless onion.
Yes.
Which are the onions you cut and you cry from.
Yes. And yes, we are. Dr. Colin Eady of Crop and Food Research New Zealand and his collaborators in Japan have been testing tearless onions in a laboratory and presented their results so far in the 5th International Symposium on Edible... some word, the A-L-L-I-A-C-E-A-E, in the Netherlands.
Wow.
Yeah, Netherlands.
Go Netherlands.
Basically, and I guess I understand that it's... I understand that, you know, that being able to do these kind of things with gene technology is interesting and could lead to more interesting things, but couldn't there be something that we could, you know, because obviously we're practicing this technology and trying to build it up. Couldn't we be building it up on something that's a little more useful than tearless onions?
Well, you say that, but I disagree about the usefulness of tearless onions. I, like many Americans, avoid onions because I don't want to appear like I'm crying.
Right.
So this has opened up a whole new world for me, or it will.
Right. Well, Dr. Eady says, we have a burgeoning population to feed, and with climate change and other challenges, available resources are being reduced. The gene silencing system, which was used to create the tearless onion, can also be used to combat virus diseases, and biotechnology in general can help us produce more robust crops. Now, I definitely see where he's coming from there. Mm-hmm. Although, apparently, and this is probably my favorite part of the article, further information is available in the Onion, in the International Onion Trade Journal, Onion World, in the last issue published in 2007. I think the fact that there is an Onion Trade Journal.
Yeah. That is, I guess there's a trade journal for anything if you want it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Now, do you have anything interesting that you're looking at there, or?
Not particularly.
No?
No, I've actually lost internet again, so
all right.
I apologize. So we're probably going a little bit from the seat of our pants on this
right,
one.
Right. Well, I think next we have our Genius of the Week. And I believe, Jeffrey, that you're going to be taking care of that for us.
Certainly.
And,
We have nothing else to say about onions, I take it. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Do you have anything else to say about onions?
I don't have anything else to say about onions.
I
would like for my birthday subscription to the Onion World.
And we've stalled long enough for me to get the paper on Genius of the Week.
Outstanding. And the Genius of the Week is... to a prince's Facebook ID stolen, and it says, Moroccan authorities arrested a man Wednesday for allegedly stealing the identity of King Mohammed VI's younger brother on the social networking website Facebook. Fouad Mortada, I believe, 26, he was detained in Casablanca, great movie,
yes,
over villainous practices linked to the alleged theft of Prince Ralu Majid's identity. Wow.
Yeah, I...
This is from Fox News.
Yeah, this is from Fox News, so we know it's true.
Yeah, and...
Now, I guess the reason I suggested this one as Genius of the Week was mostly because why would you... How could you feel that you could break into a prince's Facebook account, even if you for some reason found a reason to do that?
Well, I have to say, when I read first the headline, I thought they were referring to the pop star Prince.
I did too. I did too. And I was thinking, well, that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Prince had a Facebook.
Yeah.
Although, why would you attempt to steal a prince's Facebook? What is there to be gained?
Yes, I'm not sure why someone would do that, unless they wanted to, you know... I really have no idea.
No. But I guess, you know, good job to the MAP for catching him.
Very good.
And for, the Moroccan agency Policia or something like that, I guess?
Okay.
I guess that's all we have for the Genius of the Week.
So we're going to move on to our movie recommendation.
Actually, we're going to move on to a break.
We're going to have a break first?
So says the format sheet.
Okay. It's been about 9 minutes, but we're taking a break.
We're taking a break.
We'll be back.
And we're back with our movie recommendation. And I think this is one that we're finally happy to say that we've seen.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that we can finally recommend in good conscience. And that would be There Will Be Blood.
A fantastic movie. I think PTA's best, actually, so far, I would say. And just the acting in it, phenomenal.
I mean, that definitely is. I mean, that's the big topic with it.
Daniel Day-Lewis is an amazing actor. Anytime he's in a movie, I rush out to see it.
Except
the last movie he made, I think I was 12, and the one before that, I wasn't born yet. He makes like one movie every 10 years.
Yeah, but when he does.
When he does. And I think George Clooney was talking about his performance.
Yeah, George Clooney said, I believe, the quote was something to the effect of that he has no intentions of even thinking that he might win the best actor Oscar because of Daniel Day-Lewis, and that he gets frustrated every time Daniel Day-Lewis comes out in a movie because that means no one else has a chance.
Yeah, and true, and it's always talking about the acting with this movie, but also the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous.
It really is.
The script is top-notch.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to hazard the guess that the catering was out of this world.
I remember us walking out of the theater feeling that it wasn't just a movie. It was definitely a cinematic experience.
It really was. I think it was the first movie I saw this year that just left me sitting there, you know, almost sweating and thinking, this is amazing as I'm watching it.
Yeah, it was. You were definitely drawn in.
And it's a great story based on the novel Oil by, I think, Sinclair Lewis.
Sounds about right.
I could have the name wrong. If I do, please let us know. And he took it. It's not just an adaptation like you see with other movies. I mean, it really captured the heart of the story. I've never read the novel, so I don't know how it's based.
I haven't either. But I mean, from people who I've talked to who have read the book or are reading the book, it's definitely got that feeling of someone who has taken what was originally a brilliant piece of literature, and then brought it up to another level by adding.
Right. It really shows what the difference is between obviously a book and a movie. And this showcases the best that you can do with a movie.
Yeah, and it definitely gave me a lot of hope for movie adaptations of books.
Yeah,
and
yep.
I know
if we can always get PTA to be doing them. But.
Yeah, if we get PTA and Daniel Day-Lewis to work on them. But I definitely was. I would say it's the best movie I've seen.
I would agree with you. Now we have to talk about the ending.
Yes.
But did you like the ending? I know it's a little controversial. I personally enjoyed it. I thought it worked.
I know we're going to try and veer away from any type of spoilers here, because God forbid anyone listening hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And I know it hasn't. It's not on everyone's rush to see list. What with Meet the Spartans and 27 Dresses being out, but no, the ending. I mean, like you said, sitting after the movie, credits rolling, almost. Sweating, almost like you had just woken up from a night terror just from the amount of emotion you were feeling.
And I think it's also worth mentioning, because obviously Daniel Day-Lewis gets all the credit. Paul Franklin Dono, I believe, or Franklin Paul Dono. Dono, the preacher, the boy. Fantastic job. He was incredible in Little Miss Sunshine. I thought he did a great job in L.I.E. when he was really young.
I have not seen L.I.E., but you've recommended it to me many times.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't recommend L.I.E. It's a very difficult movie to watch. But
you said the acting was incredible.
Yeah, he does agree. Yeah, and I think he deserves a little bit of credit. I think I'm surprised that there wasn't even much talk of a Oscar nomination for supporting actor for him. I thought he deserved it, actually.
Well, he still is a little, I guess, new for the average movie watcher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than Little Miss Sunshine, most people probably had never even heard of him. I doubt you could find 10 people on the street who have even heard of L.I.E. So. I think it still is very early in his career.
Yeah,
and
it is.
With a showing like this, I definitely have.
You wonder where is he going to be going?
Yeah,
next.
With the right parts and with the the right actors, with the right director and the right script, he definitely seems like he could grow up to be another one of our great American actors.
Definitely. And with that, we're going to move on to our Hollywood Outsider section.
Yes.
Where the top story is about the Academy Awards, with Sid Gainis, the president of the Academy, has said that the show will go on and that they are planning to have a regular Oscar telecast,
which good for him. I think
it's a little early for him to come out and say that. I know that no matter what, they're going to have some form of the Oscars, regardless. Obviously, the strike is what's holding
now,
that up.
I mean, when you say some form of the Oscars, are we looking at it like what was it? Was it the
Golden Globes?
Golden Globes.
Really?
That's it.
He said it's not going to be quite that bad. It would be more of a retrospective they would have, where there would be more people invited up talking about past movies, giving the winners. So there wouldn't be writing involved. But hopefully it would be enough that some people would come to it. But at this point, it seems what he's saying is that's not going to be needed. Obviously, the WGA sent out a letter, I believe today, stating that they were working on the wording right now, that essentially a deal was in place.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the wording will be submitted for membership on Saturday for approval. So that means we could be nearing the end of the strike.
We could be nearing the end of the strike. And, I mean, one of the things that I find actually interesting just with the strike in general is that even if it does get into that position, we still have, what was it, something like 10,000 delegates who are going to have to ratify and approve the whole thing. And I think that's one of the things that's keeping us really far away from that, and the overwhelming public support of the writer's strike.
That's definitely true, but let's move on to the next topic.
The next topic is, we're kind of combining two topics into one here.
I can't wait to hear it. Can you?
No, I cannot. And our next story is, it's kind of two stories combined. It's let's talk about Britney Spears for a few seconds here. Between what's going on with her being released in the hospital and what's going on with her manager,
mm-hmm.
I think she definitely warrants a few more minutes of our time.
Yeah, definitely. She's always an interesting character. And,
she definitely is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Brittany.
I guess the first...
Well, is anyone else just tired about her, I guess?
Yeah, I am.
It seems like every day that's the only news is revolving around Britney Spears or...
Paris.
Poor Paris Hilton or,
Lindsay.
Know, Lindsay's been off of it a little bit more, so good for her.
Yeah, give her time.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll find a reason to pull her back in. But, I mean, yeah, we've talked about Britney in the past
mm-hmm.
and how we just need to, I think, leave her alone. I think she's on the cover of Rolling Stone coming up as, a great American tragedy, downfall.
Yeah.
And just, honestly, why do we care?
Right.
She was a pop sensation for about a year and a half, maybe mm-hmm. 2 years, and then...
I think she was longer than that, pretty big.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We've got to give her a couple more years than that.
But then she just kind of faded away,
mm-hmm.
and yet for some reason we just keep pulling her back in.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's staged so many different comebacks, and of course, I mean, she does, I guess, lend herself to an interesting life.
She does.
She does. She's partly to blame with, 5-minute weddings and child custody hearings and being an awful mother. Let's
shaving her head, going out without underwear.
Yeah, I do feel bad for her, but I think, at some point she needs to look in the mirror and, realize it is almost her fault.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could remember the lyrics to that Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror, I'd get to sing along right now in her honor, but I can't. So I guess we won't do that.
Okay.
And I guess our last bit of Hollywood Outsider news is regarding the ratings of the Super Bowl.
Huge. Huge ratings.
Yeah.
They're saying the second biggest since they've done Nielsen, the first obviously being MASH.
Yep.
97 million people watched it.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
And especially with it being the game that it was.
Yeah, although I think it should be worth noting that it's estimated that Roger and Hammerstein's Cinderella actually got somewhere around 120 million when it first came out. In like 20s. but before they did the Nielsen ratings, but that
right.
was actually the most watched thing ever.
Okay. Okay. More. And how much does MASH have?
I think MASH is around 105. Our internet is down.
So we're having a bit of trouble, keeping up on that kind of thing.
But, very big watch game and a huge day for Fox.
Absolutely.
Because afterwards, the house that followed performed very well.
Oh, did it?
Yes, it did.
How was it? I haven't seen it yet.
It was decent. The house is getting a little old, I think.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same thing every episode. Someone goes in with some hidden condition, they think it's something obvious, then something else happens to her, then they change their prediction.
Right.
Then they assume it's something else, they start treating her for it, looks like it's going to work, then it starts going bad, and then House comes up with the actual thing in the last 5 minutes, and they all go home.
Yeah.
It's give me a break eventually.
It's become some sort of law version of a procedural cop drama.
Yeah, it has.
It's a shame, because, you know how I feel about Hugh Lowry.
I love him.
I'm actually a little sad that Omar Epps does not have as big of a part as he did in the previous seasons.
He still is better than the other two, though.
Oh, yeah, he does. But I love Omar Epps, I love Hugh Laurie, I love that woman who's in it.
Dr. Cuddy.
Yeah.
Issue character.
Yeah, I can't
Lisa
remember.
Edelstein, I believe, is
her name. Yeah, I know Edelstein's the last name.
Lisa is definitely the first name.
Are you sure not thinking of the character Lisa Cuddy?
I'm pretty sure it's Lisa Edelstein.
Is it so her first name... If her character and her actual first name is Lisa?
I believe so.
We still don't have internet.
No, we don't have internet.
So we can't look this up. If you know the actress who plays Lisa Cuddy on Fox's, on Fox's House, please let us know.
Yeah,
we need to be on the internet to get your responses.
So by that time, we'll already know the answer ourselves, won't we?
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And I think
that's all the Hollywood news we have.
All the Hollywood news for today. We're going to take another break and come back with some listener feedback.
And we're back. Listener feedback. We've actually, a little bit of embarrassment, made a few mistakes.
A few. It'd be the first time and the only time.
Yes. First off, we had a couple laughs about the Bush budget cuts.
Yeah.
And we were saying that, you know, they weren't actually cutting anywhere and all that kind of stuff. Well, that wasn't exactly true. They're cutting from a lot of places, and you can actually get the actual breakdown on cutting from the Army Corps of Engineers. They're cutting from more than just Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
If you're interested on that stuff, look it up. Obviously, we don't pretend to be the source on it, but we did get it wrong. So we just want you guys to know that. And also, we owe a big apology to David Letterman. Yeah, we were making fun of him for making fun of Paris Hilton a second time. It turns out she actually came on the show at David Letterman's request for him to apologize to her in person.
Yeah, he got a little caught up in the comedy, I think he said.
Yeah, and so it was actually, he wasn't a jerk to her the second time. He was very nice to her the second time.
Yeah.
The whole point was an apology. And so he apologized to her, we apologized to him.
Yeah, and then hopefully she'll apologize to us.
And we'll have gone full circle.
Yes. See, this is what happens when you read the headlines and maybe the first
sentence
in the article and keep going. But I think that's one of the fun things about what we're doing here.
Okay, and do we have a debate for today?
I don't think so.
Okay, we don't have a debate for today.
We do not have a debate for today.
So we're going to jump straight into why we hate people.
Why we hate people, and I'm starting this one off, right?
Yes, you are, sir.
All right, why we hate people, and I'll just start reading this.
Okay.
Texas icon Willie Nelson said on a nationally syndicated radio show this week that he questions the official story of the September 11th terrorist attacks in New York City. Thanks, Willie. I certainly do, Nelson said Monday when asked by talk show host Alex Jones if he questioned the official story. Seems a little repetitive of the previous sentence, but okay.
But I really blame you for not picking up on that and reading it.
And here is actually what got me the most from it. I saw those towers fall, and I've seen an implosion in Las Vegas. All you really need to make any kind of scientific judgment call. There's too much similarity between the two. And I saw the building fall that didn't get hit by nothing. I'm going to repeat those last few words. Didn't get hit by nothing.
I'm not quite sure where Willie's coming from with this. All I can say is I think he smoked a little bit too much of that pot.
Hey, Willie Nelson does not smoke pot. I love the last bit. So how naive are we, you know? What do they think we'll go for? Now, I think being naive might be assuming that if you've seen an implosion in Las Vegas and seen footage from one angle of the towers falling, you can, with no real data or scientific background, compare the two and make your own judgment call.
And all those conspiracy theorists always bother me.
And there are so many better sources of information for why the 9/11 attacks were perpetrated by terrorists on our country. There's no need for us to go into the details of it. There are people who know a lot more about it who will do a much better job. But I think this is basically another celebrity who's coming. It seems to be coming into the 9/11 conspiracy theory fray a lot later than most of the others. And
Charlie Sheen jumped on it right away, but we've taken a couple of years.
Well, I guess he's really been thinking. He's been watching the two YouTube clips. He watched Loose Change a couple times.
Yeah,
and decided that anything cut in iMovie must be true.
Must be.
All right, I think we're moving on now.
And we're going over on to our news stories again. The first one is Mississippi wants to ban fat people from eating. from the AP, a state lawmaker wants to ban restaurants from serving food to obese customers. He says he never expected his plan to become law. And I think the funniest part about this is the lawmaker is 230 pounds, 5'11", and is certainly considered obese.
Now, one of the things that really caught my eye with this was more that, A, he feels that the legal system is basically his little plaything for getting on the soapbox and trying to make points.
Right.
I mean, it reminds me similar to the Democrats trying to reinstate the draft during the early days of the Iraq War. This man bothers me.
It's a stupid thing to do. Obviously, obesity is an issue.
It is.
And I'm wondering, how many times have I said obviously during this cast?
My tally is at 7.
Okay. Now, more than 30% of adults in Mississippi are obese.
Okay.
And so it certainly is a problem, and I think, but there's a better ways to go about doing this than making bans.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he could have easily also been our genius of the week or why we hate people. But
yeah, we've had a lot of stupid people today.
Yes, a lot of stupid people, and it's just going to keep on going. But this time we've got 100,000 stupid people.
Yes.
Online encyclopedia Wikipedia has stirred up controversy, according to Fox News. This time over a biographical entry on the Prophet Muhammad. Andrew's going to fill us in on what's going on with the Muhammad stuff over all these years.
Am I?
the controversies that have come up because of this.
Right, well,
give a little background on this story.
Background on this story. Well, I mean, if we jump back to, the first obvious...
You seem so prepared.
...situation... with Muhammad controversy was back actually in 1263 when the Portuguese priest Pablo Joaquim Manuel built his own church in Aljubarrota and actually had a huge mural of Muhammad on the side, and it was soon after burnt down. Not by Muslims. I mean, it was a terrible fire. But
can we get a little more recent history?
A little more recent. Well, in 1262,
like about the possibly the political cartoons from Sweden or Danland.
Oh, that
and yeah, and stuff with South Park and Comedy Central.
See, I thought you were just
No.
You were just trying to give me a cue to just start bullshitting, make stuff up about Muhammad.
No, I was looking for legitimate stuff.
Why did you send that to me?
I assumed you knew, since you took out this, printed this off.
No,
that you knew something about
this. I just went to Fox News and hit Control P
print. Okay, well, why don't I give a little bit of background?
Yeah, why don't you? I've embarrassed myself enough today.
Okay, I think it was about a year ago. You don't remember this? It was a political cartoon.
Well, I remember.
Okay,
this,
well, I made jokes about Muhammad, and people got upset, so they actually then made a contest who could come up with the best joke. People's lives were threatened. It was a huge controversy. South Park then went to jump in on it, and they actually made an episode where they showed the Prophet Muhammad. Comedy Central would not let them air it.
Yes.
And so, of course, that brought up all free speech things. It also brought up ideas of, you know, are these people crazy? And what's the difference between being crazy and just having a strange belief? But 100,000 people have signed onto the current thing. Have signed a web-based petition asking Wikipedia to remove all depictions of the Prophet from the English language entry. Do you think they should? Do you think it's a case where it is a religious belief that they should take it off and respect that, or do you think it's where, you know, these people have to live in the rest of the world?
Well, I definitely think people need to live in the rest of the world, and I think that...
But on the other hand, we're not going to force, a Jewish person to eat pork.
We're not forcing them to do anything.
No, but there's a difference between, you know, with the Judaism is like that. I can eat pork.
Yeah.
They can't. But my doing it doesn't affect them. Whereas us showing, people showing pictures of Prophet Muhammad and doing like that, that does affect them because that is an integral part of their religion. And don't you think to a degree we should be a little respectful of that?
I think we should, but I think this is, I mean, this isn't like political cartoons. This isn't like an episode of stuff. This is an encyclopedia.
I agree.
You know, and it's not like you know, Wikipedia went and drew up their own pictures of Muhammad. They are taking from source photos of murals and paintings which pictured Muhammad.
Right.
I don't think we can really get mad at Wikipedia for allowing people access to things which are already available, which already exist. I mean, they're not recreating anything. All they're doing is compiling information.
That's true. That is true.
I honestly would be disappointed if Wikipedia did take this down.
Oh, I have no doubt they're not going to, but because there's two depictions of Muhammad covered by white veil, and then there's a pair that show his full face.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't it make a little bit of sense? Maybe make it a compromise. You don't have a problem with the ones with his face covered by a veil. Why not take the full face pictures down?
But I think that might also set a bad precedent. I think
it does, because there is certainly free speech issues, and especially with Wikipedia, where it is it's information presented, not information created.
And because Wikipedia is, at least to my knowledge, I don't know much about it, but Wikipedia is only a site where millions of users can go in there and edit the information themselves.
Yep.
Now I wonder where this leads next. At what point do we say that, you know, no, this bit of offense is a little too frivolous?
Right.
And not to say that the Muslims being offended by this is frivolous, but I do think it does. Like you said, start living in the real world. Mm-hmm. You can't control the fact that someone somewhere out there is going to either show pictures that already exist of Muhammad or mm-hmm. create his own.
Yep.
And if you don't want it done, you don't want to look at it, that's fine, but we need to do it. Yeah.
Well, why don't we move on
to our weird news story. All right, we've got, this is actually coming out of Cornell. And Cornell researchers have succeeded in implanting electronic circuit probes into tobacco hornworms as early pupae. Now, I did a quick read over of this article. Mm-hmm. Actually read through the majority of it. And,
Why don't you just give us a little background on the larvae history?
Well, back in 1261, a tobacco hornworm built a church in Oslo, Portugal, and... I'm going to stop with that joke. That's.
I wonder how many people are going to be offended by that.
The church? The joke?
Just in general.
Us talking about Muhammad for
five minutes? Yeah, I think that's more the area.
And we'll be posting a huge high-resolution tapestry on the blog, but you have to find the link. It's a secret. If you can find it, you got it.
If you can find it right. Oh, yeah, we should just quickly do the plug. If you have comments about any of the stuff we've been talking about, don't forget to send it to wedigress@gmail.com,
or feel free to visit our website, which is, I guess, more of a blog, wedigress.podomatic.com.
And should we have a website is another question we should ask. We actually own the rights to wedigress.com, but we're too cheap to actually run a website. So the question is, would you read what we have to say? You listened to it already, to make it worth it for us to actually spend an hour a day typing our thoughts out on other stuff. So if you do want to hear that, send $10 in cash to the WeDigress.com fund.
Yep, WeDigress.com fund.
We're not going to give you the actual address to send it to, so you'll probably get it sent back to you by the U.S. Postal Service.
That's also a secret link on the website. Lots of secrets on there.
Continue about bugs.
Yeah, I picked this one mostly because of the title, Implants Create Insect Cyborgs.
Which, really, that's what it is about.
Yeah,
it's creating insect cyborgs.
It is. I mean, they put in these two, I guess, electrical circuit probes, which delivered 5 volts into the blade muscles to move the wings for flight and maneuvering.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they created insects that they can demonstrate controlled flight with. They flew around these insects. And, have you muted your microphone, Jeffrey?
I did temporarily mute it, but I'm back.
Okay. All right. And
we have a special guest right now that just walked into the studio.
That would be Catherine.
Catherine.
She's
our research assistant here.
Yeah, she's our research assistant. She does a little bit of the research for us, so...
And so she's the one, send all your angry emails.
Yes, anything that's incorrect, send it to Catherine@wedigress.com.
Yes, as long as you send us $10 first so that we can have the website.
Exactly.
We're counting on you.
Okay, basically, I mean, there's not really much to say about insect cyborgs. I thought it was an interesting story.
Obviously,
we don't have much to say about it. But I guess, wouldn't it be cool to have an army of insect cyborgs?
It would be. I think if we're building cyborgs, why don't we go the Terminator route and just build, you know, real crazy big things that can't be killed?
Remember when we were playing that new Time Crisis game, and there's those beetles?
Yes, I do remember that.
Actually, you know what? That was stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Those beetles were stupid.
Yeah, and you just shot them a couple times, and they all exploded and went away. It was a waste of $1, if I may say.
One of the worst Time Crisis games I've ever played.
It was.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah, I expect a lot from Time Crisis normally, so I was really let down by that.
Yeah, as you may have noticed, we're on our gabbing section now. Just talking about whatever floats our boat. And this is actually going to be a pretty short episode because we didn't have much to talk about. It's been a slow couple of days
for me. Well, we actually got some feedback that said that we might have spent a little bit too much time on some stories.
Yeah.
So we're trying it new where we're just typing out all the stories, but normally we would just make up random times and say, this story we're going to talk about 5 minutes, this one 10 minutes. We didn't do it this time.
No, right now
and, it seems to have cut off about 25 minutes, meaning our other shows had about 25 minutes of utter BS on them.
Just fluff and padding.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That is. We're not very good at this.
No, we're not. Well, I mean, we're still new in this. We're still podcast virgins.
We're still, Well, technically, by the definition, we're in our first podcast to pop the podcast cherry.
This is getting a little bit too risque. This is getting a little PG-13 for me. This is almost as bad as that podcast where we said masturbatory and caucus about 15 times respectively.
Well, that see, right there, it was 15 minutes. I'm just seeing after Turing caucus, so...
Actually, should we talk about yesterday's podcast, or attempts thereof?
I guess we should talk about it, because it was a brilliant failure.
Yeah, this was actually one of the best and worst ideas I think we've had podcast-wise.
It would have worked if, you know, because you know how podcasts work, if you're listening to this, it's not live.
No.
But we decided to do a live podcast of the primary results coming in, and then we were going to post it. So it was basically just going to be like 3 hours of us reading numbers.
Yeah, yeah, and saying the same things over and over again. And
it really over and over and over again.
And we probably recorded, what, about an hour?
I'd say at least an hour, yeah.
And then at some point realized that this just...
No one would ever listen to it. But now the question is, if we had the ability to do live podcasts on major events, such as, you know, the actual election.
The actual election,
other,
yeah.
You know, different primary days, you know, the stuff with Hollywood, like the Oscars.
The Oscars.
Would any of you actually listen to it? Would you actually make us appointment listening? Or are we not that good? I think we both know the answer to that.
And you would make us a part of this thing. You would actually have big We Digress parties where everyone gets together.
That is actually a good idea. To anyone who can prove to us that you have a We Digress party with over 100 people and listen to a full podcast, we will say your name and state out loud on our next show.
And we will send you a t-shirt.
We
pay shipping.
You pay shipping, and you pay the cost of the t-shirt.
Oh, no, it's not going to be a new t-shirt. I've got a bag full of stuff that needs to go down to the Goodwill.
Well, can we at least charge him handling?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, to be entered in this contest, send $50 shipping and handling fee to We Digress.
Should we have different, you know, clothing and stuff sending that we can, you know, people can buy?
Well, we can do that pretty easily with Cafe Press.
Yeah, yeah, we might as well. I mean,
well,
no one's going
to
buy it,
but... We need to come up with a logo first.
We do need a logo.
And, actually, for anyone who hasn't noticed yet, and I don't know if anyone out there cares, but we are now actually in the iTunes podcast directory.
We are.
Which
and
actually,
apparently,
mm-hmm.
We are the most popular podcast in existence.
I mean, our popularity meter on iTunes is chock full of goodness. And I thank all of you out there in podcast land for that. Either...
And now here's the question. Are we actually that popular? And are people... And if so, I want to send us someone to let us know we're listening to it, because I didn't think anyone was listening.
No, I didn't.
Or is it a mistake on iTunes, and we're not actually that popular? Is it the former, or is it the latter, and which one means which?
Yes.
The question for today.
That's today's trivia. I think we actually, we should do trivia.
We should do.
I think that could be fun.
Again, yeah, if someone's listening, send us some suggestions. What is it that you would like to see us do? Do you want to
see... Well, not really see us, to hear us do.
Or would you want to see us? I mean, we're not that attractive.
I mean, you haven't shaved, and...
I shaved. Oh, no, I didn't.
Even your extremely manly looking in today, or... no, but you didn't shave. I'm wearing wrinkled clothes from work today.
Which is amazing that you had to work. We're all proud of you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not one who works too often.
No,
not for lack of trying.
2 minutes and 15 seconds remaining in this podcast.
All right, are we going to do another outro? Are we going to have to make...
Are we going to do another outro? We have to do an outro.
Yeah, are we going to do this off the cuff again? Off the cuff again?
No, we're going to do it off the cuff. we've got a couple of cups, we're just going to do it right off of them.
all right, I guess each of us think of two?
We can do it that way.
Okay. Because I don't think my phone is going to ring and save me this time.
no, it won't, unfortunately. Also, how's the sound quality? Because we're only recording in one channel.
Well, I mean, the sound quality isn't that bad. I've definitely, from the responses I've gotten from the few people who have actually responded,
right.
They said that...
And for the record, a few people have actually responded.
Yes.
We don't make all that up.
No. I mean...
We'd like to thank our two listeners out there.
Yes, two. Three.
Three listeners. We know we have at least three listeners.
Spoken to three people. Now, Podomatic claims that we have around 30.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
30 people.
I know. Well, I mean, that's 30 people who know us now that didn't know us a week ago.
But we don't know how long they listened for.
No, we don't. But I guess
okay. Well, I have one on this one.
Okay,
so don't take that. Don't
okay.
Steal mine.
Okay, I've actually got one on that one.
Okay, so we've got at least two.
Okay, I said we should just come up with one more.
Okay. Yeah, right. This must be the most boring part of the show.
Yeah, this has got to be terrible. This is gonna.
Or we can just do two. You know, we should just end it with two. Or do you have a third one you want
to? I can come up with a third one while you're reading yours. Let me start us off.
Okay.
Let me play us out.
Well, actually, we have about 10 seconds left before we need you to play
seconds.
out.
Okay.
Actually, 2 seconds now. Okay, you can take us out there.
All right. This has been We Digress with your host Jeffrey Clues and Andrew Paulo. Tune in next week for...
Willie Nelson doesn't believe about his own career.
Muslims protest the dictionary, and Mississippi won't serve their own people. That one was terrible.
No, I missaid mine. I'd actually like a redo on that. But,
okay. What did you want to say?
I don't know. I didn't have enough time for wording it, but that's all the time we have. We've got 2 seconds, and then we hit it, and we're off.
And we're gone.
Are you going to do an ending here?
Oh, this has been We Digress with your host Jeffrey Clues and Andrew Paulo. We Digress.
Oh, you actually already did that, didn't you?
Yeah. We Digress is produced by Andrew Paulo with music written by Andrew Paulo. And...